Welcome back to the Stylish Study Show. Today we are talking about small habits for big success. So Julia is a habits expert. She runs the Sync Method, which is all about transforming your life, up-leveling your life, getting closer to your goals, but by those small things that you do every day. So like we said, the small habits for the big success, because all those small things add up to the big success. So we actually did a masterclass inside the membership, which is a 4-part masterclass with 4 videos. You also get access to the 4 worksheets, and you can access that now by becoming a member at stylishstudy.com. So if you head over to stylishstudy.com/join membership, if you're not already a member, you can unlock access to all of those videos right now. And they are super in-depth trainings on how you can actually maximize your success and move forward with those small habits. But today we kind of scratched the surface on it. We talked about how Julia has actually implemented these into her life. Talking a little bit about Diet Coke, we'll get onto that in a little while. But I just think that this is so important, because if you can crack these things now, you are going to have so much more success in your life. And it's not about suddenly waking up tomorrow and deciding that today I'm going to run 10K and I'm going to only eat green foods. It's about slowly implementing that into your life and deciding what success really means for you. So this is actually something that is going to help you with your whole entire life. It is so important for studying, because we need to get into those good habits to really reap those rewards. If you're only doing studying for about 20 minutes, you are not going to then end up with those A stars. You need to make it that small habit and keep chipping away at it until you actually get there. So we're going to dive straight into this episode. But again, if you wanted to access more of this and you wanted to actually see the step-by-steps of how you can create small habits for big success, make sure you head on over to the Stylish Study membership. Go to stylishstudy.com/join membership if you are not already a member. And you can unlock all these trainings with Julia. I can't wait for us to dive straight in. Welcome to the Stylish Study Show. I'm your host, Ella Harmony, the founder of Stylish Study. This is the podcast for the students who want to achieve their dream grades, have a clear guide to success, and level up to live their best life. I myself went from being miserable with failing grades to reaching my full potential and getting A stars. Today, I'm here to share with you everything I learned along the way, so let's dive straight into this episode. Today we have a very special guest here with us.
Thank you, Ella, and thank you again so much for inviting me to this masterclass with Stylish Study. I've really enjoyed doing it, and I hope your membership will enjoy learning all about small habits for big success. So an introduction to myself. I started the Sync Method in 2013 when I was working in a corporate environment with corporate clients, really about their change and transformation within their working life. So I was working with people to get a promotion, to change careers, and to basically up level, really. And then in 2018, my father suddenly died, and it sent me into quite a kind of grief spiral, as these things often do. And I undertook a lot of personal development and intense therapy that year. And for the first time, I really got to understand at an individual level what change and transformation really meant, and why we struggle with it so much, because we're really fighting against nature. And so I then took what I knew in the kind of the corporate life around change and transformation, and what I knew at an individual level, and I combined those two things. So have quite recently moved from working with corporate clients to working with individuals who really want to make change and transformation part of their life. And my main focus is around dealing with self-sabotage, overwhelm, and procrastination to get the change that people really want. And I do that through a process of small habits that people can undertake every day, and really syncing what you really want in your life, your big goals in your life, and how that is transferred to your everyday actions, and how your everyday actions can really get you what you want in your life.
Yeah, I love that. And I've been going through the membership stuff myself, actually. We've posted the last video today, so if you are a member, feel free to go and check that out. It's called Small Habits for Big Success. And I really believe that having those habits and those fundamental basics in your life, that is what is going to help you reach that success. Because Yes, you can make the flashcards and do all those amazing revision techniques that we talk about, but you need to be able to implement this into your life and live a life of success. And like we were just talking about, yes, it's something that's great for now, but then it's going to actually help you in your future, and you are going to be able to reap the rewards and carry on your success into your future life. So I think that that is so why I was so passionate about getting this into the membership, because I really do believe that all these fundamentals and all these steps really, really impact your success, not just now with your grades, but your success in your life. And anyone that's listening to this now who feels like they are a high achiever and they have big goals for the future, this is something that you want to get on right now. We're talking about changing your levels of success and how habits can really change how we get through in life. How have you found that habits have helped your success?
So as I said, kind of struggled a little bit and struggled with kind of downward spirals, bouts of depression, struggled with kind of just being productive, of feeling like my life was doing something, meaning something. And it actually led me to read James Clear, who's written a great book called Atomic Habits. And lots of people have kind of spoken about this kind of thing, which I talk about in the Sync Method as well, which is about starting small. So one of the big issues we have, and one of the problems that I was having, was I was thinking about where I am today, what my goal is, and thinking I could start on that. I was at naught today. My goal is at 100, and tomorrow I'll start on 50. Right. So, yeah. Today I only get up at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I do no exercise at all, but what I want to do is get up at 5:30 in the morning and go for a run for 10 miles. Yeah. And so I start on Monday, I'll do that. And of course, the leap is just too big. And, what the therapy piece taught me was that every living thing in the world has one purpose, and that is to survive. That is our sole purpose, is to survive. And when we're small, when we're children, we adapt to our environment to ensure our survival, right? And we carve these paths for ourselves, which are the things we do as children, and then we grow up, as adults. If our we do the things that our family did, we are, products of our environment. So that when we get to be kind of an adult, we say, actually, so I didn't come from a family who went to the gym very often or prioritized exercise or anything like that, for example. And now I want to do that. For me to then carve a new path, there's a couple of things. Firstly, it's hard to carve a new path. Think of yourself dropped in the middle of a jungle, and you now have to carve this path you've never done before. But fundamentally, your body is now saying, no, you've never done that. And you not doing that has meant you've survived all this time. And now you're doing something different. And we don't know the outcome of that. And it could mean death. I mean, that's literally what your body is going through. It could mean death. So one day, getting up at 5:30 in the morning and going for a run, you might be able to do, because your motivation is high, right? Your motivation is high. But this is the issue, is that our motivation is not enough to fight our fundamental need to keep alive. And that means doing the same thing, because that has meant we've kept alive for all this time. So when I apply it to myself, I started with, I'm quite an early morning riser anyway, but I used to not do anything in the morning. I would just get up at 5:30 and then fuss about on my phone, do whatever until I needed to go to work at 7:30, for example. So essentially wasted 2 hours. So I started with getting up and getting out of bed and having a shower immediately. That was one of the first things I did. And I did that only. For about 3 weeks or so. So sometimes that meant having a shower and going back to bed for a bit. Sometimes that meant that I would go outside and go for a walk, but I didn't put any pressure on myself. I just, as long as you get out of bed and have a shower, it's fine. And then I got out of bed and had a shower. And then I did some yoga. And I hate yoga. I hate it. It bores me. But I know that it's afterwards, I feel great. And I feel really great for doing it. So what I did was I said, I'm only going to do a minute. I'm literally going to do a minute of yoga. And if that means just standing there and doing some breathing exercise and doing a tree pose, that's fine. That's all I'm going to do. And I did that for about, I think, 3 weeks or 4 weeks. And by the time the end of that 4 weeks was up, I was then doing 15 minutes of yoga. Because once you, the hardest bit is starting, right?
Yeah.
So once you start, and just by doing those things, I really lifted myself out of this kind of dark, unproductive phase of not wanting to do anything or go anywhere or see anyone, because success breeds success. It doesn't matter how big or small that success is. Your brain doesn't understand the size of success. All it understands is this was good and we achieved this and we can do more of this, right? So your brain absolutely doesn't care if you got up and did a 10-mile run or if you got up and walked outside, if that was your goal. It just cares that you did that. The other thing that I stopped doing was talking about goals and setting goals. And I know we all do it because it's a language we all understand. And of course, it's important to have goals. I'm not saying you shouldn't.
Yeah.
But what I am saying is that if all you do is create goals and you know, write them down and all that kind of stuff, what happens is we very often don't achieve those goals because they're big, right? They're very often big. And then we feel like failures because we haven't achieved those goals. Where actually what you want to put in place are, as James Clear would say, systems. And systems in my language means routines, habits, right?
Yeah.
So it just means that you put small things in place that lead to your big goal. So it's important to know what your big goal is, but don't think about that every day. Think about, I'm just going to get up today and I'm just going to do this one thing for 1 minute. That's all I'm going to do. So I gave up in 2014, I gave up Diet Coke. So I realized that I used to drink 6 Diet Cokes a day and tea. All I drank was Diet Coke and tea. Sometimes I put vodka in Diet Coke. And I decided that wasn't good for me. So I measured it. Because in the corporate world, we always say you need to measure it to fix it. You need to know what it is to fix it. So you know, I had to own up to the reality. I was drinking 6 a day. So the first thing I did was said, well, I'm going to cut out the one that I have at breakfast time, which I did. I used to have Diet Coke at breakfast, imagine. So I cut that one out immediately. And then I was on 5 Diet Cokes. And then what I did was, instead of buying the bottles, which are 500 mils, I bought the cans, which were 330 mils. So already I've cut down, but I was still having 6 a day. And then what I did was every single one I had, I decanted into a glass. And then I took a tiny bit off the top and filled it with water. So I basically watered down my Diet Coke over about it took me 6 months, and I watered down my Diet Coke until it was, and when it got to about half and half, it's revolting, right?
Yeah.
So then I stopped drinking Diet Coke. So I did that very piecemeal. I also gave up smoking, but the reason I gave up smoking was, and I did it overnight.
Yeah.
And this is the difference with motivation, right? With smoking, the reason I gave it up was because when they made it illegal to smoke inside in the UK, mm-hmm. I was like, I'm not standing in a street corner smoking. I'm not doing it. So one day to the next, I just gave up, done, because my motivation was so high. And if your motivation is very high, you can do things cold turkey. But for most of us and for most things, keeping that motivation high is very, very difficult. So now what it means in my life is that I now have some foundation habits that I do every single day, or at least most days, that really help me start my day, so that even if I don't do anything else that day, I've had a good day. I've had a successful day. I can say I've had a successful day because I've done those fundamentals. And that's why habits are really important, because it's also helped me build my confidence and my you know, my own self, I know that I can do stuff because I've done stuff before. I've proven that I've done stuff before. So when I say I'm going to do things, I manage to do them.
Yeah, and I think that for me, having a solid morning routine is something that I definitely have, but I'm working little by little to improve it. So I actually subconsciously did the things that you were talking about in terms of, yes, I'd like to get up earlier, but I can't do that all in one go. I need to wake up maybe half an hour earlier for a couple of weeks and then add it a little bit more, maybe change my breakfast after a couple of weeks to something slightly healthier, then sort of get into that routine of working out. And having that solid morning routine really sets my day up differently. I noticed that when I was at sick form, just when I got up the extra hour and a half earlier, which, like I said, I did it over time. I didn't do it overnight because my motivation wasn't that high. I also had to have self-discipline, which I think is something that we can rely on motivation, but really it comes down to self-discipline. How much do you want it? How much is this going to change your life? How much are you going to be stepping into your future self if you have that self-discipline? So I noticed that when I had that solid morning routine, when I was doing my meditation and I was journaling and I was doing all those healthy habits, they changed the way that I set up for my day so much. And sometimes I get lazy. I stay in bed an extra hour and a half because I'm like, well, I don't actually have to wake up and start working until that time. But I know that if I don't do that, my day is massively slowed down and I do not get as much done. And it sounds a bit out there and it sounds a bit like, are you really being serious? But when you try it and you notice how those different healthy habits that are stepping into your future self actually change the way that you live your life, it's so important to have that routine. And we were talking inside the masterclass about how you have your fundamental steps. So for example, like you're talking about your hydration, making your bed, all those healthy habits to start set up for a good day. What are some of the other ways that we can start the day with healthy habits?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So I think it's really important to work out what's good for you, right? So in the masterclass, I did some basic ones that are good for everybody, right? You know, make your bed, hydration, things like that. But I think it's important, one size doesn't fit all. So for example, for me, I've got an autoimmune disease and it affects my circulation quite a lot. So for me, doing some dry body brushing and having a cold shower is really, really important for me. It really helps me kind of physically. And hydration, it's one of the foundation habits, but hydration for me is massively important because I really feel it if I don't. And getting out every day in the sunshine, because I used to struggle with that, getting outside and going for a walk. Last year I got two dogs to make sure that I would have to do that. So healthy habits really depends on what works for you and where you are today. And you know, one of the key ones is obviously the food that you intake. So but I don't want to sit here and say, oh, you know, breakfast is the most important meal of the day, because truthfully, for some people, eating first thing in the morning is a real chore. They don't wake up. That's just not how their body works. So I honestly think that healthy habits means that you have to be intuitive and you have to listen to your body. What does your body really want? What do you really need in order to step into your future self? What do you need to do for yourself today to help you achieve that? And then do it. And if it means break it down, then break it down. Break it down to however many steps you need to. A couple of years ago, I had a client who had a kind of very depressive episode and was on medication and under doctor's orders, etc. But she took 3 months off work and she said, I need a routine and a structure in my life so I can get back to how my life used to be. And so we started small. And I said, you know, what do you do today? And she said, oh, I get up at midday and then I go and have something to eat and then I lie on the sofa and then I go to bed, essentially. So, okay. So for the next week, set your alarm for midday, get up at midday and get up, splash your face with water, mm-hmm. splash your face with cold water and then carry on. And then after that, we move to get up at 11:30, set your alarm. So now you're used to getting up. My alarm goes, I get up, right? It's a Pavlov's dog kind of situation. which is exactly what we're trying to do. So, you know, getting up and brushing our teeth every day, for example, we don't think about it, right? Because we've been doing it forever. That path is well trodden. And that's what we're trying to do here, is we want to build a path that is well trodden. So we have to keep doing it day after day. So she then set her alarm for 11:30, splashed her face with water. And then after that, set your alarm for 11:30 and have a shower. So she did that. And way before the 3 months, she was getting up at 8:30 in the morning and having a shower and then doing something with her day, eating healthy food, etc. Because that success builds success. You start believing in yourself. You start turning up for yourself. And self-discipline is hard because sometimes you have to say no to things and you have to put boundaries in place for both yourself and other people. Right. And it's and sometimes that is hard. You're saying no to something that you do want to do, but you have to keep that future self in mind. And this is where the kind of the sync method comes in, because we're syncing between what we do today, our everyday actions today, and what we want our future to be. Are they in sync? And you can sit down and really think about that. And, you know, in the masterclass, we talk about in module 4, we talk about stepping into your future self and really visioning, what does that look like? What does that look like in terms of relationships? What does that look like in terms of your study or your career? What does that look like in terms of your wealth? And look, I've said kind of 10 years ahead. And it could be 3 months ahead. It could be a year ahead. And it also could mean that those things change. But the point is that we're working towards something, right? Because whether we like it or not, we're putting a brick down every day. Whether we're consciously doing or unconsciously doing it, we are waking up every day and we are doing stuff every day. At the end of 10 years, we're going to have a house because we're putting a brick down every day. What kind of house do we want? Do we want the house of our dreams, or do we want a shack? Do we just want a big shack? Because either way, we're going to get a house, right? So it's consciously doing things so that you get the house of your dreams. Again, healthy habits, I'm going to come back to, there's a load of healthy habits. Everybody knows what they are. What I'm saying is that find out what's healthy for you. Don't let other people tell you that. Where are you today? Where do you want to be? Healthy habits for you.
Definitely. And I think for me, I've had to exercise a lot of self-discipline at the moment, because I have that horrible habit of when you wake up in the morning, turn to your phone straight away. And that is something that I hate, because it sets my day up horribly. I either open my phone to something that I don't want to see, that then sets the mood for the rest of the day, that I'm like, ugh, this thing, like, it really gets to me first thing in the morning. Or I just spend ages flipping through my phone, and I hate it. Like, I come away from my phone and I feel really just bleh, because I'm like, what have I achieved from that? I've just wasted time and I could be doing something else. But it is so easy to do. And this is where the self-discipline has had to come in for me, because I was like, okay, what is something that I can swap for that phone time? So instead, I've been waking up and I've been trying to read a book. And some days it works, some days it doesn't, but I have to try and be as self-disciplined as possible, because once I've read that book, I'm like, okay, it's either been a novel that I've been really enjoying, or it's been a self-improvement / self-help book that I've really got something from it, and that will then help me to implement it into my day and just have generally a better life. Instead of watching YouTube videos of people doing whatever that's not very inspiring. And if I do slip onto my phone in the morning and I don't have that self-discipline, I use that small habit of, instead of watching something that is totally irrelevant to my day, I try and watch like a motivational video or a TED talk or something. So maybe I still am on my phone, and maybe that is still not the healthiest habit, but it's something that is a slight change, it's a slight difference, and it's gonna help my day improve. So in terms of self-discipline, how can we make that slightly easier? I know it's a very difficult challenge, but is there kind of maybe one or two ways that we can start to make that self-discipline a little bit easier?
Yeah, so I think one of the really important things is to stop the negative chat when we slip. So for example, you said, you know, sometimes you're on your phone, you know, you try to read, but sometimes that doesn't happen. And that's okay. That is absolutely okay. I think this is where, unfortunately, we are fed this image of self-discipline means you never slip. You go 100 miles an hour all the time. And that's just simply not true. It's not sustainable. It's not realistic. It's just not true. So from my experience, the best way to improve your self-discipline is if you slip, don't worry about it. Remember that you are fighting your primal urge to stay the same, right? So you are fighting nature. Yeah. So you've got to give yourself a break. So don't, if you do slip off whatever path you're trying to go on, just don't worry about it. Expect it. Expect that you're going to fail. Everybody does. Every single person in the world suffers from self-sabotage, procrastination, failure, slippage. Every single person. So firstly, don't worry about it. And the next day, start again. And make sure that you are in sync with your goals. People kind of start with something and then kind of don't continue, because it's not actually a goal that they themselves want to achieve. It might be a goal that they feel is being imposed upon them and that what they should do, right? It's the should. And it's really hard to stand up and say, well, actually, I don't want that. I want this. But you need to, you need to get better at that, right? You do need to get better. And self-discipline isn't something that you suddenly arrive by. It's not something that, you know, I'll work at this and then in 3 months' time, I will be self-disciplined. It's something that happens constantly and consistently every day. It's just like eating, right? We don't eat until Thursday and then we're okay until Monday. It's not like we have to do it every day. We have to sustain it every day. And that's the same with self-discipline. So just keep doing your small steps. If you get up in the morning, just 5 minutes before, you know, you used to get up, if you're working towards getting up earlier in the morning, you can't fail at that, right? And you do need to be a little bit strong with yourself, but remember why you're doing it.
Definitely. And I think having that why is so important, because for me, if it was something that going on my phone in the first thing in the morning didn't affect me, why would I want to change that? I wouldn't have that self-discipline to change that. And we've had a previous podcast episode on finding your why. And if getting better grades to you isn't something that you want for yourself, that's never going to be easy for you. And that's never going to be something that you can work towards step by step. It's going to be something that you maybe one day are motivated by, and then the next it just slips out of your mind, because it won't be for you. It's going to be for someone else, or maybe some external validation or something. It needs to be for you. It needs to be something that you are pushing yourself towards, and something that you're actually going to have that motivation and that self-discipline to continue. Otherwise, it's not really going to get anywhere. Another thing that I think that when you have your why, it definitely helps stop procrastination, because you know why you're doing it, you know why you're moving forward, and having that why helps you to actually just get started and avoid that procrastination, because you can see the bigger picture. And I know in your modules you were talking about procrastination. So how can procrastination stop our success, and how can we overcome that?
Yeah, so procrastination is a big one, and it's all part of the self-sabotage story, right? And I do talk in the masterclass, and the main reasons why we procrastinate is because potentially the goal is too far in the future, right? It's something that we can't see now, so we're just not motivated. The pressure is not there to get up and do it. So the key to that is to break down your goal and bring the timelines forward so that you do get the pressure, right? So that you do feel the pressure of things. I do think the biggest reason why we procrastinate, especially with bigger pieces of work, or with projects, or with big essays or studying or things like that, is the fear of failure, right? Yeah. So it's the fear of not doing as well as we want to do, of of failing and looking stupid potentially. And so we don't start. So we don't start because we're worried about what the end result is going to be. And I think if we remove that failure piece from our vocabulary, because there is no such thing as failure. There just isn't. There's learning and there's experience and there's, you know, improvements and there's insight and there's all of those kinds of things. But failure itself is very rarely true failure. It's often a way to show us what we're not good at or what we don't enjoy or what we do struggle with or where we do need to focus. So we do need to kind of move away from the fear of failing or not kind of succeeding as we would want to succeed, and kind of having an expectation to do that. And then also, of course, procrastination is around having, if you just have massive goals. So for example, if you don't run at all, do no exercise, and then you say, oh, you know, at the end of July, I'm going to do a half marathon. Your motivation on day one might be quite high, but by day two, it's like, well, I'm never going to be able to do that anyway. So why would I try? And then your procrastination has massively kicked in, as is your self-sabotage, as is your dark side. The whole thing is destined for failure. So the best thing to do is then break that down. So yes, that's my end goal at the end of July, to run a half marathon. But what am I going to do today? What am I going to do today to help me get that far? Well, I tell you what, I'm going to download the Couch to 5K app, and I'm going to go for a half hour walk. That is what I'm going to do today. So don't worry about the end of July. What am I going to do today? And then what am I going to do tomorrow? And then what am I going to do the next day? So that we stop the overwhelm, because overwhelm is very real. And it's one of the things that definitely paralyzes people. It paralyzes you. If you have too much to do, it just stops you, because you don't know what to do first. You know, overwhelm really kills any kind of activity. And the only way to get over procrastination, the only way is to take action. The only way is to take action and start small. As I've said before, start small. So if you're procrastinating about studying, for example, do 5 minutes. Set an alarm, literally do 5 minutes. Just sit at a desk or, you know, sit somewhere, get out of your bed, get off the sofa, whatever. Sit somewhere properly, do it for 5 minutes. You're only going to do it for 5 minutes. And you'll be surprised how many times that extends, right? How much you can extend that, because it is the starting that is the issue.
Yeah, and when I have a big project, I know that sometimes I can procrastinate, but I know that I sit down and then I'm like, okay, I'll do this for 5 minutes. And then once you've done 5 minutes and you've got into it, it actually becomes so much easier, because you're not in your head about it. And I think that is where the procrastination comes, when you're in your head. And that's also why we invented our goal getter planner, to really break down those steps of that big goal, put your deadlines on there, so that then you have that little bit of pressure, because those smaller steps have that deadline, all working towards that big goal. And when I have that big goal as well, I do break it down in our goal getter, and it does help me to actually see the tasks in small actionable steps, so I don't have that overwhelm, and then I'm not as inclined to procrastinate. And getting forward with those goals and those systems and those intentions are really what is going to help you to move into your future self. So I just kind of wanted to talk about your future self a little bit, because it's something that gets me very excited, and I know a lot of our listeners right now will be very excited about their futures and will have big plans for that and are just wanting to move towards it a little bit every single day. So how can you move into your future self with these habits and help us with our wealth, our health, our education? How can we step into our future self today?
Yeah, so again, really important to understand what that means for you. So what does your future self look to you? And again, you know, I've said 10 years in the masterclass, but in truth, it could be 3 months, it could be a year, 5 years, whatever the timeline is to you. And then think about, so for example, you know, my future self, I want to be studying for a PhD, let's say.
Yeah.
Then think about what that means. So a person studying for their PhD, what do they do every day? What kind of things do they do? Well, I imagine they would have to study quite a lot. I imagine they would have to reach out to peers and have, you know, meetings with peers, that kind of stuff. I imagine that they would have to be reading a huge amount. I imagine they would have to be writing, etc. So sit down and think about a PhD student, what kind of day would they be having, right? They would have to keep a healthy body as well, right? Because they would have to be operating at their optimum. So what kind of things would they be eating? What kind of things would they be doing on an evening? Most likely they wouldn't be going to nightclubs until 3 o'clock in the morning, that kind of thing. So imagine what their day would be. And then there's going to be a gap between where you are today and where this person is in, you know, 5 years, 10 years, whatever, and then break that down. So you just talked about that great tool that you've got where you can break down your goals. So that's exactly it, right? So there's going to be a gap between where you are today and where you want to be in the future. So break it down as much as you possibly can. So what can I do today? And just take one day at a time. What can I do today that's going to move me towards that goal? What can I do tomorrow that's going to move me towards that goal? And build it up. Because as I said before, if you've got a plan for a house and you lay a brick every single day, no matter what, at the end, you will have a house, no matter what, right? So it's building the house that you want, though, right? It's building the house that you lay the foundations of what you want. So you really need to think about in quite some detail when you're thinking about your future self, of exactly what that looks like, how they feel, what they wear, where they live, what kind of friends they've got, what they eat, where they shop, everything. Think about everything in as much detail as you can, and then kind of write it down, and then think about how that translates to, you know, what they're doing every day.
Yeah, and I think today there's actually a little bit of a cheat to doing this. For me, I look up sort of day in the life of someone that's really productive, etc., etc. And you can go onto YouTube and you can type in day in the life of an A-star student, and that will give you an idea of some of those habits. But like we've spoken about today, it really needs to be for you. You can take inspiration, and if something you feel would really click for you, take that, magpie it, use it in your own routine, and get that kind of idea of someone that is really productive, someone that is studying amazingly well, someone that is getting those grades, but also at the same time, really, like we've said, link it back to you, see whether it works for you, and try it for a week. If you find that you're really resistant to it, take it out if it's not working for you. But that is something that I feel like you can get that kind of cheat and that inspiration from YouTube videos nowadays, from sort of TikToks, to maybe get you out and started on the right foot.
Yeah, that's a great idea. That's a great idea, is because you don't want to be reinventing the wheel. There's no need, right? So look at someone who you aspire to, and then research what they do. How do they live their lives, right? So you have people to kind of look to and follow that path. So that's a great idea, Ella.
I think it's also exciting talking about the future and where you want to go and those kind of systems and intentions and goals you want to set for yourself. I really hope that this episode has been very inspiring, and now you are going to step into your future self. If you do want to hear about the whole SYNC method and how to implement those habits for daily success and everything that we've talked about inside the membership, you can head on over to the Stylish Study website. Go to stylishstudy.com/join membership. That's stylishstudy.com/join membership to unlock access to the masterclass right now, so you can get learning small habits for big success with Julia inside the membership. So thank you so much for being on this podcast and doing the membership. It's been absolutely lovely.
Great. Thank you so much, Ella. Really appreciate it, and hope your members get a lot of value from the Small Habits for Big Success masterclass.
I'm sure they will. It's been great chatting to you today. Where can our members and our listeners find more about you if they would like to find out more?
Yeah, so if they just log on to thesyncmethod.com, there's lots of stuff in there. So I've got lots of freebies that they can download. I've got some courses that they can take, lots more that they could do, yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. Let us know what you think by leaving us a review. And for more fun, make sure you follow us on our socials at stylishstudy_ and head to stylishstudy.com/free-ebook. That's stylishstudy.com/free-ebook for your free guide to grade boosting success. Catch you next week.